City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
The Windy City Queer Cast, show number 358. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And it's the day after.
It is the day after the big event.
Oh my gosh, the gays got talent.
The gays do have talent, and they got a lot of energy, too.
They got a lot of energy, and talent and snow has become a talent tradition.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't like the worst day ever, but it was a miserable first day of spring.
But it was weird that we had had this gorgeous week.
I know.
And why we say it's a talent tradition is because last year we actually had Gays Got Talent at Sidetrack.
It was earlier, though, right?
Yeah, but it was still on a Saturday, but it was in January.
And we had a blizzard.
We had a blizzard. And literally, I texted Deb Pierce yesterday and said, wish you were here. Gays Got Talent and snow. Where are you?
Where are you?
I mean, obviously, you sent us the snow from Canada.
Oh, my
you
goodness.
Lesbians. You lesbians in Canada.
Canada, well, you know my whole thing.
Exactly. but so it was snowing, and even Sidetrack, I walked to the door, and they were like, what is it with you with the snow on talent? And I was like, I don't know. It's a tradition.
Although
but people came out.
They did. There were a lot of people.
I think we had probably a little over 400 people.
It was really amazing.
With the talent and the, you know.
It was super
volunteers.
Fun.
It just takes so many people to make those events happen.
I have to
happen.
Say, the people at Sidetrack were so nice.
They're awesome.
They're so awesome. I mean, everybody was so nice. Even just like as simple as like, you know, where the judges were sitting. You know, it was crowded, so people kept standing in front of us. But myself and Shelby are short, you know?
Yes.
And so, and I'm not that pushy, really. I mean, I pretend to be, but I'm not. To be like, get out of my way. And the people at Sidetrack were so good about saying, like, can you just step a little bit to the side so that they can see over you?
Yeah.
You know, because I couldn't actually, sometimes I couldn't see.
Yeah.
You know, and they were so great because I didn't actually have to be like the bad guy.
Yeah.
Which
was
really great.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. They're amazing. And I don't think we could do an event like that. I mean, we had bands and,
and
piano players
and
burlesque performers and, you know, singers and.
Right, and it was live music, and it was canned music, and it was horn sections, and it was belly
just
dancers.
Everything, you know. And so, with all of that, there's a lot. There's a lot when you don't have wings and a stage and a curtain and it's all happening, and you're in a crowded bar. And I mean, they really
and people,
just pulled
and also,
it off.
You know, people are drinking. And,
yep.
You know, you have to factor in that ultimately you're in a bar setting.
Yep.
Right, and we all know what kind of behavior goes on.
Yep.
At a bar setting where people get a little liquid courage and behave, you know. But it was super fun.
And we have to say thank you for the liquid courage from Miller Lite and Sky because what a, you know, they're great two companies that really are so supportive of the community and at the same time make an event like that possible. Like we just can't do it. It takes so much
I want to thank them personally for the Cherry Sky Vodka and Soda, with a lime and a cherry because it was delicious.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was really good. I don't usually drink flavored vodkas. Vodkas, it's not my... I just put an R at the end of vodka.
Vodkers.
Because I'm from Rhode Island. That's what we do.
Vodkers.
Vodkers, ideas. I saw it. I don't usually drink flavored vodkas, but it was delicious.
They have some good flavored vodkas, the Sky.
Now I don't know if it's Sky or some other company. Now they have bacon flavored vodka. Do you know
that?
I
have not heard that, nor would I want to have that.
Bacon flavored.
No. Their new one is ginger. Now that I could drink.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because you love the ginger ale, so you may have to try this new
ginger. I'm a ginger dude.
And then last year, it was the pineapple, which is, it's still the pineapple.
I love ginger.
They have the pineapple Mai Tais on the slushies on them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's tasty stuff.
Yeah.
Tasty
so
stuff.
So did you have fun yesterday?
I did have fun.
You looked hot.
Aw, thank you.
Really, I loved that dress.
Aw, thank you. Yeah, I was. I got that dress up in upstate New York.
In New York?
Yeah,
I so rarely see you. I mean, I see you dressed up when you go, like when I see you leave the house to go to meetings or some businessy whatever thing that you do, grown-up lady. But it's so rare that I see you like in a black cocktail dress.
Yeah.
You looked great.
It was actually navy. It's navy, but it looks like leather. Yeah, even Chuck Hyde,
who's
the owner of Sidetrack, is like, that's a great dress. And I love it when, I love when gay men think that I'm in a great dress. Wow. Now, sometimes I'm in a showy dress.
Make it work.
I like to usually drag queen it out a little bit for the idol. And I'd normally, for talent last year, I kind of just did kind of a rock and roll jean and jacket kind of thing. But this year, I don't know. I just kind of wanted to do a little 1962,
little
slightly Michelle Obama inspired sleeveless.
I wanted your hair to be a little high. I loved your hair, but I wanted it to be higher.
Yeah.
So you needed a gay man to do your hair.
I need a gay man to do my hair.
I love the point I wanted to be high. I wanted you to wear a bumpet. You know what a bumpet is?
Is that when it goes chikung right in the front?
No, it's these things. It's like this plastic thing that you put under your hair, and then you build the hair around it so that it literally goes like that 60s bump.
Maybe we got to get me a bump it.
You need a bump it.
You need to get a bump it. I just need a gay man, and if you're listening, who will do my hair for Idol.
Because I'm the worst. I'm like the bad
the
gay guy.
The problem is that I'm
Tell people what I look like right now. Like, I'm the worst gay guy ever.
You're like the cutest gay
guy. I'm wearing plaid Gap espadrilles.
Yeah.
Just to say it.
Like little Vans.
I'm wearing like the oldest sweatpants on the planet with like paint stains on them.
And a non-matching sweatjacket.
And a non-matching sweatshirt. I mean, I'm really...
But that's, but I'm in my pajamas, so this is where we love to podcast.
I guess
from.
That's true.
But no, I did get a lot of compliments. It kind of looked like leather. It looked like real leather.
$6,000. It's not even leather.
It's not even real leather. it kind of had a Mad Men-esque / Michelle Obama-esque.
And I wore a mustard old, like vintage girl's cardigan.
You're so cute.
With a purple.
Yeah.
Shirt underneath because it was spring, damn it, and I knew it was snowing.
It was,
but I needed to dress like a fucking tulip because I needed it to be goddamn spring.
Yep,
right.
It might as well be spring. What is that song? It's from some musical.
It is.
So I had a good time. There was such great talent on the stage.
And people are so sweet. The talent was so sweet. I think I'm struck most by those. The twin brothers.
Matthew and Michael Bigal.
Yeah, they were opera singers. They did an opera song and then they did a show tune. And they were so charming and so sweet. And, because I had
thin, cute.
And because I guess I'm close to my siblings too, it moved.
One straight, one gay.
And Amy Armstrong called it. She's like, by the way, one straight, one's gay. And here's the straight one, here's the gay one. And we were like, really? And then we asked, of course. And she was right. She was brilliant.
They work at Sidetrack together. They came in and they wanted to work at Sidetrack. They want to work together.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, they were so charming and so sweet. And they came up after me. And I mean, everybody was really sweet. But I guess I'm just using them as an example. Because, the judges are really there. We're there to make funny comments and to, fill the time in between, the setup and stuff like that. It's not like we're really judging. I mean, we're professionals. So we have some constructive criticism, hopefully.
Yeah.
And they were so sweet and respectful and that was sort of the,
that was the tenor of everybody.
It was really lovely. And they just sort of struck me because there's something charming about them being brothers and how close they must be. And that makes me, it moves me because I'm so close to my siblings too,
And I think that what I felt from, so many of the contestants was just that they kind of got the spirit of what the day was, that when... I was helping put this thing together for me, and I spoke to them right before we all went on. We met with all the performers, and I said, just want you to go out there and just kind of shine as to how diverse and quirky and mainstream and everything that our community is,
right.
that we're kind of like all shapes and sizes, all kinds of talents, right. all kind of everything. And
right.
we really
the,
did
right,
have
from
that.
From the outre to the mainstream.
Right. We had like performance art band Dan, you know, to
they
like.
They were funny. I wanted to see more. I feel like.
They didn't do their Gays Are Gonna Get You number. And I think that should have been their first number. And I think they led with their wrong number.
I think so too, because I was so struck. I thought to myself, I don't want to see 3 minutes of them. I want to see 30 minutes of them, because yeah. I want to see what they build.
They're
to.
Really starting to build a following, and they're really doing
like
interesting performance art.
DAAN, right?
DAAN. And then, you know, even from House of Winehouse, who brought, yeah. you know, six-piece band.
Oh, my God, that was amazing.
We had bass and horns, trombone, trumpet, guitar,
she looked just
drummer.
Like her.
She looked just like her. You know, and I think, too, her constructive criticism was also that she is a show. And so she has dialogue and
right.
banter and kind of the whole thing. And, you know, just got to do like a 3-minute song. Mm-hmm. So she only got to do kind of the most mainstream
right.
of what it is she does.
Right.
You know, which is a whole show.
Right.
You know,
where she's
around.
Amy Winehouse. Well, somebody's got to do it because Amy Winehouse isn't doing it anymore.
Well, this is what I said. But how sweet were even her guys?
Oh, I know. They were really
sweet. Her band members
sweet.
All came up and spoke to me. I was so glad one of her band members actually won the American Airlines tickets.
Did you eventually find him?
Yes,
you
we did Jerry. So, you know, it was like, it was a great day. And our big winner, Cary Grant.
Yeah.
Who was our 2005 Gay Idol. So it's 5 years later now. She's won Gays Got Talent. She can no longer compete in either of our competitions.
But
she's
going to be
a
judge,
last
right?
year. Yes, she is going to be
a judge together for Idol.
For Idol. I asked her last
she's
night.
She's so cute. She's so cute because, you know, my friend Megan was in the competition yesterday. And Megan isn't from here, so she's not, you know, she's
yeah.
not.
She doesn't live here full time.
She doesn't live here full time, so she's not sort of integrated into the community. And so come to find out before the event, I'm like, you know, I'm texting Megan, I'm like, where are you? And she's like, I'm across the street with Amy, not you, Amy, different Amy, who was runner-up.
Amy Kelly.
She's like, I'm across the street with Amy Kelly and Cary Grant. We're having a drink before the competition. And I was like, of course you are.
Drinking.
Just having a cocktail.
Drinking with the lesbians.
Just having a cocktail.
How funny is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was really fabulous.
Yeah, they were all there for sound check. But Cary Grant, you know, she's so talented. She played piano
and
sang.
Guitar.
And then played guitar and sang. And just feels everything she sings.
And she sang a Joan Armatrading song, too, which
yeah.
is always, anyone who knows who Joan Armatrading is impresses me. And anyone who doesn't know who Joan Armatrading is needs to find out who Joan Armatrading is.
Yeah.
In fact, we should tell Di to
play a little The Weakness in Me. That's
play
what,
The Weakness in Me.
That's
yeah.
what Cary Grant won with. And the other song that she sang, I don't know if that was an original.
I don't think it was original because I recognized it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know who it was.
But, you know, she's just so great. And you know, she kind of reminds Kelly and I of when we met, because Kelly and I, when we had just gotten together, she came to see the Gay Idol Finals, and Cary Grant won that year.
Oh.
And Cary Grant sang, you know, I Can't Make You Love Me and Lady in Red. And, I, you know, and Kelly just loves her. So
she's wonderful, yeah.
She was so
excited.
I have
to say, Shelby and Terry, who were there yesterday from Claire Simon's office, the casting directors, they're both huge fans of Cary's. I'm not sure how they
met her at Gay Idol.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, Claire Simon casting has
Shelby
come to a
really
number
big
of
fan.
Our
Shelby was really excited to see Cary because she really, really, really liked her.
Yeah.
Which is
she's
great.
She's really, really impressive. And I do think that the Opera Twins were a huge hit, but I also think that Megan Murphy was
yeah.
a big surprise hit
yes.
of the day. And God love her, had she known even more people in
I
that
know.
Bar.
Well, of course, right, because it's about how many people you're bringing.
Right. I mean, Megan is this very funny actress,
who also
singer,
happens to be drop-dead gorgeous.
Who's drop-dead gorgeous, redhead with great tits.
Yes, she is.
Who has this unique gift, we should say, for writing these very funny songs.
Yeah, funny songs.
And she's written this song
called Your Titties Look Funny in That Dress,
which everyone refers to as the pork slap song.
Yeah, the pork slap, yeah, because that's the move. That's the dance move that is inspired
she's
by it.
She's inspired a
yeah.
dance move, a craze. And I have to tell you, I don't think anybody was as rapt as they were watching her do that number.
I know, it was funny.
And I wonder too if she had done another funny number.
I know.
Second, and I don't know how many she has, but I hear that she's got a show coming up. Hopefully,
yes, absolutely, at Davenport's in May.
And we'll be able to talk about,
we'll
that.
Let you know about that.
Yeah, we'll get some dates and know about that.
It was fun. It was funny too because that song was something that she sort of wrote for fun, and it was like.
And she can really sing.
Well, yeah, well, she
I mean,
really
that's
sing.
The thing. If you couldn't really sing, it would not be
no,
as
she can
funny.
Right, she can really sing. And so, but doing that funny song was sort of like a test. It was sort of like, will other people besides our friends think that's funny? And then we found out yesterday that, yes, indeed, other people think
indeed,
it's funny.
Indeed, like 400 people.
Like were, bartenders.
I have to tell you, Amy Piper, the bartender at the Glass Bar, often, most nights, at Sidetrack, literally after the show said, oh my God, who is she and where does she perform? And I don't care where it is. And we said she'd be performing in Davenport soon. She said, I've never been to Davenport's, but that song would make me go. You know, I mean,
it was really funny.
Little cute, you know, Amy Piper, dykey Amy
funny.
Piper.
Well, it was interesting too, Megan's perspective too, because she was saying that walking around the bar afterwards and, you know, so many people came up to her and, you know, just so people were so generous and kind.
Yeah.
I mean, people were really lovely. I mean, I did have that one incident we won't talk about at the end of the show where someone was a little overserved, if we can say that, a little, she was a little worse for wear with booze, and her being the exception that proves the rule.
Absolutely.
People were so lovely.
So lovely.
Yeah,
the audience really loved being there. And it was a really diverse crowd. You know,
really
we had like
crowd.
Parents.
I know people's
parental types.
I know. When it became clear that Bradley, the comedian, when his mom was there.
But it wasn't his mom.
Oh, it wasn't his mom?
No, this woman like looked, Kelly's in my partner.
Oh, I just bought it. I just thought it was
I
his mom.
I did too.
Because somebody said, oh, that's his mom. And I was like,
somebody said that. And then I said, oh, and his mom's here. And he's doing all these foul jokes about, you know, ass sex in front of his mom. Standing like right in front of him holding number 7. And then like Kelly said to me last night, said, that wasn't Bradley's mom. She like turned to the right and left and said, I'm just a friend. But it was a like friend like mom.
Yeah, a mom-like
friend. Yeah, a mom-like friend.
A mom-like friend. An MLF.
MLF.
Oh, wait, that's a
no,
different.
Wasn't that kind of. And Bradley did really, you know, he's so cute.
He's a sweetheart.
And very funny.
Very funny, so handsome, and really knows how to play to the crowd. And, you know, he's sort of a favorite too, right? Because he's either worked at Sidetrack or Roscoe's for a gazillion years. So, you know, he knows everybody. So the crowd was really on his side.
And I think he's new to comedy. Yeah. And what's interesting about that is it is new to him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem like it's as new to him as it is.
No.
You know, so I expect actually for him to get better and better and better.
He's got a lot
and
of
his
confidence.
Material to get
well, he's
better.
He's a smart guy, right? He's a school teacher. So he has a real facility with words. And his vocabulary is really intelligent without being pretentious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's smart.
I think he's going to get better and better and better at this stand-up thing. And I always love that he has a message, you know, too.
I tell you who I wish had people had sort of been able to hear better. Not for any reason except that a crowded bar is not the best situation for that. Their kind of humor was Homer and Natalie, this guy and this gal, a gay guy, a lesbian friend, they wrote a song about vampires.
Yeah, the vampire alphabet.
But they're both like Second City improviser, you know, sketch comedy people, and it was so clever.
Yep.
And but I think it was a little hard to hear all the subtleties of it in sort of a bar situation, you know. But it was so subtle and so smart. So if you guys are listening,
they were
my faves. I just thought that's a show I'd go see. I'd go see Homer and Natalie do 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I'd go see that.
But I think a lot of people will know about a lot more.
I hope so. I told them to let me know so that we could let people know when they play out because they do have a set of songs.
Yeah, I would have them on the podcast to let them do some stuff.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
They would be funny.
I just think they're super smart and he's a doll. I don't really know Natalie.
They need to do an act one. They'd be a nice act one to Megan's act two.
They would be a nice act one. Yeah. Just smart and clever, right?
Yeah.
I guess I'm a big fan of clever.
Well, I think, you know, what was interesting and what we discovered yesterday, and I will say that there's an exception to the rule because, you know, Lucy Schumbert, who won last year, was our slam poet, and she got up to guest perform. And when you're guest performing, sometimes people are taking that as a bathroom break and all that. But, man, she stood there. She waited for it. And people really locked into her poem.
I was talking to my friends right after, and they were people who hadn't seen her last year.
Yeah.
Like my friend Eric's brother was in town, straight guy.
Yeah.
Was there with Eric, who's gay. And Terry had never been to Sidetrack or really didn't know what he was.
Yep.
He was just with Eric to come, you know, support and stuff. And Terry was blown away.
Yeah.
Blown away.
Yeah. I mean, she's brilliant. She is brilliant. That poem is brilliant.
Remember last year when I was judging, I said she finished and I was like, okay, everybody, shut the fuck up. Stop talking. Because I want to point out that that's real talent, what just happened.
Yeah.
Because she's so smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Passionate. She's great. She looked great. She was great. She's great. And, you know, and so the problem when Cece Carter performed yesterday, I think she tried to rise to the occasion of knowing she was going to be in a bar and had the Beyonce song under her.
Right.
And I think what it did was it fought.
It that overpowered
people,
her.
It overpowered that people had to stop and give her attention. Yeah. And
Amy Armstrong said something very serious, very
astute.
Astute, thank you. Yeah, yesterday, I've not had enough lesbian chicory coffee.
No, you've not.
Performers, mm-hmm. all of us, need to remember the power of silence.
Yeah,
that it's actually okay to be silent. It's mm-hmm. okay, and I think that Cece's poetry was so good. But I think that it was too much of a cacophony, mm-hmm. right? The music and then the sound of the bar and the, you know, mm-hmm. glasses clinking and people talking. It was hard to hear how smart it was. And I think if she had walked up there and stood with no music behind her, dead silent,
mm-hmm.
and just waited for people to pay attention.
Yep.
I think that she would have killed.
Yeah.
Because her stuff is so good.
Her stuff is brilliant. Her stuff is
Everybody
really, really
was great.
Brilliant.
Everybody was great. I mean, you know, let's be honest. You know, the first couple of rounds of it, you get really talented people and some wackadoodles, which, don't get me wrong, is wildly entertaining and often the reason to go to the event.
Yes.
But then when it gets down to the finals, it's really talented people of all different stripes. Just so many talented people in our community that are just everywhere, you know.
Yep.
We're just everywhere. We're all shapes and sizes. And and it's fascinating to see, like, you know, you get on the train in the morning to go to work or you do whatever and you have no idea that you're sitting next to a really fabulous singer or a poet or, you know, songwriter.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
And I think we'll have a few of them. I mean, Sammy, our quarterback princess from the Chicago Force, my next show we'll have an interview with the Chicago Force owner, Linda Bechet, because their season's starting up. But, you know, she's a quarterback. She's a singer. She's a singer-songwriter. She's a ukulele player.
I know. I want to talk to her because I want to talk to her about song choice because I'm a huge fan of hers.
Yep.
I think she's amazing. Plus, she's stunning, you know, just naturally gorgeous. And I love that she plays the ukulele. But I want her to sing. I don't know. I want to talk to her about song choice. I want to give her some advice because I think that she could kill with the right song.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, I agree.
I mean, she kills anyway, but with the right song.
She does look like Diana Krall.
She does look like Diana Krall.
You are spot on with that. And then I think we'll have Michael Scott McBride, who's another one that I think for him, I think the point for him, I think yesterday was just song choice. I just think for him, he needs to sing. I would love to see Michael sing some church music.
Some church music.
You know, that's what he wants to do.
I kept thinking,
you know,
I wanted him to sing My Cherie Amour. I wanted him to sing an old Stevie Wonder song.
Interesting. You said Stevie Wonder.
I did because he has such a soulful voice and it was very cute and clever that he chose to sing like a slowed down version of Cold Hearted Snake, which is very
clever.
But I
want him to stop singing what he thinks we want to hear.
Yes.
And I want him to sing what means to. But the thing of it is he does write his own stuff.
Say
and
that.
He's either going to have to start singing that.
But that's really brave.
But we did encourage people to sing covers for a crowd.
Yes.
This loud, this big, whatever.
Totally.
But I think you were right in that he has the ability, the musicality, the voice, the musicianship to sing not a pop song.
Yeah.
And if it's a pop song, it's one of those art song pop songs.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's
one of those
like
songs that is going to stand the full test of time, not because it has a beat under it.
Right.
You know?
I mean, it's like the American Idol thing, too, that always sort of annoys me about that show as much as it's fun to watch, is when you watch these young kids singing something and you can tell that they don't have any idea what it is they're singing about. They know the words.
Yeah.
And they know the tune. And then they know how to riff around the tune, but to the sense that they really are connecting with what they're saying, because if you're not really connecting what you're saying, then it's just vocalizing.
Yep.
And
that's not interesting, and that doesn't sell records, and that doesn't stop people.
It's boring. You know, it's boring. Then you have Celine Dion's career. I'm just kidding.
Stop!
I said that to tease you.
Yeah. There are some great music, you know, masters, Barbara Streisand being one of them, Celine Dion being one of them.
Well, Barbara knows what she's singing.
Well,
she knows the lyric. Celine doesn't even speak English. She's reading.
She does.
She's reading phonetically.
Well,
it's all phonetics. No, she's great. I'm just kidding.
She's hooked on phonics.
Can you wait? Speaking of divas, can you believe that Liza Minnelli is coming to Chicago and I'm going to be in Alaska?
Yeah. Maybe she'll take a little lesbian Alaskan whale watching tour.
Yeah,
afterwards.
Maybe she'll play Anchorage while I'm there.
Yeah, maybe.
Son of a bitch. I'm so mad.
I'm sorry.
There's two of my idols that I've never seen, Prince and Liza, that I've never seen in concert.
Oh, I've seen Prince. I've never seen Liza.
I don't know why. I have never seen the two of them, and she's coming literally a month after I go away.
Yeah. I misspelled Minnelli, and Lynn Baber, who runs the casting up at Northlight, she emailed me back and she said, if you had been a fan of
Liza, you'd know that
Liza
it's M-I-N-N, then E-L-L-I, and with an N, that's not new.
Yeah, not, yeah. And I just laughed and I said, no, that's just me being a very tired lesbian who was trying to let my friends know there was a pre-sale through Windy City.
So funny.
Yeah, but anyhow, and another person I thought was really great, and I hope he will come back to Windy City Gay Idol, if you're listening, was Mark, who kind of had the Michael Bublé thing going. He had the look,
yeah.
The keyboard, the microphone. I felt like
I mean, Amy Armstrong, the first thing she said, he opened up his mouth to sing, and you know, anybody who knows Amy and everybody in the community does, she's a hell of a singer. And the first thing she said was, gorgeous voice.
Gorgeous voice. And he can play and sing. So he chose not to do that for whatever reason on that first song. And I think once again, it was, you know, it's a tricky situation. It's a tricky situation. We watch it on American Idol.
Yeah.
You know, your song choice.
Yeah.
And when they moved to that bigger venue, well, they all went from being in a much smaller venue.
Yeah.
I mean, in many ways, you know, singing at Spin or singing at Roscoe's, it's not like they're a lesser bar at all. But the environment, the room in which you have to sing is so much smaller.
And the energy is different.
And it's far more intimate.
Yeah.
You know, and Mark is a great, I bet, intimate room singer.
Right, he's a club singer.
Because
right,
Michael Bublé is. You know, he has to kind of add the band behind him and all that
kind of
stuff.
You know, my comment to him was, and I thought it was great too, he was handsome.
So
good. He dressed
beautifully.
Clearly he has a gorgeous voice. My thing is, and this is always true for me, it's actually my issue with Bublé a little bit, as successful as he is, is that like if you're going to do something retro, which the style is retro, it's very Dean Martin, it's very Frank Sinatra, it's very Sammy Davis, like, and you're going to do that, which, you know, I can barely listen to music written past 1970, so I love the old stuff, right?
Yeah, no, and I do too.
So, but if you're going to do it now, you have to individualize it and personalize it so that it is new. You know, Harry Connick made it new because he brought sort of a sexy Southern ness to it. Bublé has made it new because he's brought his own personality to it. There's a guy, I'm sure not a lot of people know Jamie Cullum. Do you know Jamie Cullum?
That name is
He's a British kid who sings a lot of standards, but he brings an almost rock and roll sort of punky attitude towards standards, you know? And so he brings...
Like Nellie McKay. I mean, there's some people like this, you know?
Where you got to bring... where I think that for him, it was just about bringing his personality to it. He sang beautifully. He looked fabulous. I'd love to see him come back and just bring a little bit of who he is.
I think he could be a real contender
at Idol.
At Gay Idol this year if he just tweaks it.
Yep.
Just a notch. It's not even much.
Nope.
It's not even much that he needs to do.
It's just exposing himself a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what puts why people loved Megan, why people loved Carrie, why people loved the twins, is because you could so see who they were.
Yep.
I mean, we saw these brothers in their relationship and how much they love each other and how vulnerable
and
sweet
Lucy,
that is.
Why Lucy won last year. It's
right.
Like being willing to expose yourself.
I think so. I mean, all the people who succeed in entertainment do so because there's only one of them.
Yep.
Right.
Right.
And we see that when you bring your, when you bring yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's true. It's true. Hey, there is so much news going on. Still some great theater this spring as things are continuing to pop up. And a new movie, The Runaways. Talk about the originals.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen The Runaways, Richard Knight Jr., it's just come out. Richard Knight Jr. gives his review of the beginning of women rock, women punk rock.
Women preteen punk rock.
Preteen punk rock.
They were
well,
babies.
Dakota Fanning, it's crazy to me that she's...
Well, the character was that young.
Yeah, I know, but it's just crazy to me that Dakota Fanning is actually...
She's an alien.
She's...
She's not human.
She's not human.
No, she isn't.
Mitchell and I'll be back.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite, and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
Lieutenant Dan Choi and Jim Petrangelo, who are being discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, were arrested on March 18th for handcuffing themselves to the White House gates while protesting the policy.
A study published in the New England Journal of Medicine says that some clinical trials backed by pharmaceutical labs and the U.S. federal government exclude lesbians and gays. The study, based on data regarding more than 80,000 clinical trials, found that 15% of the trials used requirements that explicitly excluded homosexual participants. However, other trials excluded single men and women, including heterosexual ones.
In Illinois, three Evanston men were indicted for allegedly harassing and attacking a gay man on the CTA's red line. Sean Little, age 21, and Kevin McAndrew and Benjamin Etter, both 23, were indicted on one count of hate crime and two counts of aggravated battery. The charges stem from an incident in January in which the three are alleged to have beaten a Rogers Park man, 33-year-old Daniel Hoff, after Hoff attempted to intervene in an altercation on the train.
Chicago Mayor Richard Daley has appointed Elizabeth Kelly, Ph.D., as the new chairperson of the Commission's Advisory Council on Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Issues. Kelly is professor of Women's and Gender Studies at DePaul University, a founding member of DePaul's interdisciplinary program in the LGBT Studies program, and has served for 6 years as director of Women's and Gender Studies.
Gay rights activists staged sit-ins at the D.C. and San Francisco offices of U.S. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, demanding that voting on the Employment Non-Discrimination Act take place on the House floor by the end of this month. 10 of the activists ended up being arrested. They were fined $125 each and released.
A bill in the Florida State Senate that would have provided tax benefits to movie producers whose films contain only traditional family values will not proceed without the controversial language. The criterion, seen by some as anti-gay, was removed from the Senate version of the measure. The House version still contains the language, although several representatives would like to remove it.
Also in Florida, openly gay Gainesville City Commissioner Craig Lowe is now the frontrunner in the city's mayoral race after garnering the most votes in the March election and advancing to a runoff. Lowe, who has been commissioner for 7 years, will face conservative Don Marsh in April. Lowe played a key role in getting Gainesville to pass an ordinance allowing trans individuals to use the most comfortable restrooms for them.
In Washington, D.C., Catholic Charities has changed some rules in light of the district's legalizing of same-sex marriage. Now, new employees can no longer receive health benefits from their spouses, although their children will be covered, and must pledge that they will not violate the church's beliefs.
In Maryland, trans woman Dana Beyer has filed a $5 million lawsuit against Montgomery County under the law she helped write. Beyer, a senior policy advisor for Councilwoman Dutchie Trottenberg, helped draft a measure banning gender identity-based discrimination and is saying that the county's ethics commission violated that law when it conducted an investigation of her.
In world news, the Asian country of Nepal may offer same-sex couples the option of getting married at the base camp of Mount Everest and honeymooning at a mountain trek or adventure tour. However, it is probably money more than the love of equality that is motivating this development. A spokesman for the Nepal Tourism Board said of gay tourists, they are high-spending customers.
Mexican singer Paquita La Del Barrio has spoken out about gay adoption, and her views are decidedly anti-gay. She said she did not approve of the part of Mexico City's new marriage equality law that lets gay couples adopt children, saying, "It's better that the child die instead of that life for the little creatures."
Graham George Edwards, a restaurateur who was formerly the owner of a brothel, is believed to have fled New Zealand owing a lot of money, including $15,000 a court ordered him to pay for sexually harassing an employee. The Employment Relations Authority ruled Edwards had sexually harassed his front-of-house manager at Edwards El Centro restaurant. However, Edwards' BMW was found abandoned at Auckland International Airport, and he had allegedly told staffers he was headed to L.A.
In England, Nicholas Rao has been sentenced to 5 years in jail for burglarizing gay people. Rao used the name Slick Nick on gay dating websites in order to deceive men and get them to trust him. After becoming friends, he would steal their belongings. Rao was already serving 5 years for burglary when he escaped from prison last year.
In entertainment news, four characters from the hit series Mad Men will be in plastic when Mattel unveils a line of dolls inspired by the show. Dolls of Joan Holloway, played by Christina Hendricks, Roger Sterling, played by John Slattery, Don Draper, played by John Hamm, and Betty Draper, played by January Jones. They come with accessories ranging from necklaces to a briefcase, but do not include two signature indulgences of the characters, cigarettes and alcohol.
In the movie Chloe, Amanda Siegfried plays a prostitute hired by Julianne Moore to tempt husband Liam Neeson, who is possibly cheating. But it is a love scene with Moore that Siegfried found riskiest. Moore, age 49, called Siegfried 24, quite impressive.
Colony Capital, LLC, a private equity firm owned by billionaire Thomas Barrick, will assume the debt of photographer Annie Leibovitz after she bought back control of her property. Last year, Leibovitz, who was involved with writer Susan Sontag until her death in 2004, renegotiated a $24 million loan to get her homes and photos back.
Brett Claywell is speaking out about he and fellow actor Scott Evans were let go from the soap opera One Life to Live 3 months after becoming the participants in the first gay love scene on daytime television. Openly gay Evans and Claywell supposedly, quote, failed to resonate with the mainstream audience, end quote.
On the March 17th episode of TV's Ugly Betty, Betty's nephew Justin, played by Mark Indelicato, kissed another guy for the first time. The show has gradually revealed more about Justin's sexual orientation, with creator Silvio Horta saying that during the show's final season, he wanted Justin to deal with who he really is. In the episode, the same-sex kiss takes place backstage after Justin's school play ends. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. Girls don't play guitars. Kristen Stewart as Joan Jett is told early on in writer-director Floria Sigismundi's biopic of the all-girl glam rock 70s band, The Runaways. But quickly, the frustrated yet determined Joan has ignored that advice and is roaming the streets of Los Angeles in 1975. She soon hooked up with music producer Kim Fowley, played by Michael Shannon, who was wildly entertaining as a freak impresario. Fowley has the inspired idea to create the first all-girl glam rock band, and soon he and Joan spot 15-year-old blonde ethereal goddess Sherry Curie, played by Dakota Fanning, who has grown up. Curie, who would become the lead singer-slash-jailbait fantasy figure for the group. Fowley, a hustling Svengali, if there ever was one, and believe me, there was, quickly has Joan and Cherie joined by Tuffy, Lita Ford, Sandy West, and the one whose name I can never remember, practicing in an abandoned trailer. You bitches are going to be bigger than the fucking Beatles, he tells the eager girls, but quickly adds, this isn't about women's lib, this is women's libido. Grabbing the mic from Cherie, or Sherry, or whatever, however the hell you say the blonde bimbo's name, he acts out a sexualized version of what he wants. This phony but entertaining movie mythologizes the all-too-familiar rags-to-riches highlights of the short-lived career of the Runaways, which ended with the expected tour of Japan and a slide down into drugs, alcohol, narcissistic excesses, etc. Along the way, Sigismundi, the director-writer, captures the hallmarks of the tatty, mid-70s bisexual glitter rock scene with its platform shoes, skin-tight pants, tube tops, and pansexual hair and makeup. Shannon and the two teenage leads, who sing their own numbers and indulge in a very sensual love scene, ably jump into the characters headfirst, and though the excess and exuberance is countered by a fair amount of melodramatic heartbreak, jealousy, and enough tearful moments to smear the mascara of all and sundry, the movie works best when it's focusing on attitude, outfits, and the sleazy sex, drugs, and rock and roll milieu circa 1975. The Runaways, a sort of velvet goldmine for girls, like the music of the group, is best enjoyed in the moment as a guilty, irresistible pleasure without any pretense of depth to deaden its highly erotic charge. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
You want to learn to play tennis in no time? Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks, with sessions beginning May 1st. During Tennis in No Time, participants will learn the basics, including the forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment costs $115 and includes a 3-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, 2 social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information on Tennis in No Time, visit midtown.com/Chicago.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get
some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 22nd, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Remy Bumpo Theater presents Christopher Hampton's seductive drama Les Liaisons Dangereuses, playing now through May 2nd at the Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. Set in the salons and boudoirs of pre-revolutionary France, 2 high-powered friends devise a game to test their skills as rapacious lovers. For more information, visit remybumpo.org.
Court Theater presents The Illusion, a story of theatrical magic, outrageous humor, and true complicated love. Directed by Charles Newell of Caroline or Change, and adapted by Tony Kushner, The Illusion features some of the finest performers here in Chicago theater. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit courttheater.org.
The Harris Theater hosts one of Broadway's biggest names in March. Tony Award-winning actress Christine Ebersole performs a concert of Broadway favorites one night only, March 25th. Visit harristheaterchicago.org. Tickets are going fast.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com, playing now through May 30th. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Colton Ford, and you're being turned on by the Windy City Queercast.
I have a lover who loves me. How could I break such a heart? Yet still you get my attention. Why do you come here? When you know I've got troubles enough, why do you call me? When you know I can't answer the phone, make me love, and I don't want to make someone else some kind of an unknown fool. You make me stay when I should not. Are you so strong?
So, Mitchell, I mean, all this stuff was going on with talent yesterday, and I guess I don't know what else was happening in the world.
I'll
but you told me
world.
Some
yeah, I mean, I was
some
just,
shit went down this
I was
weekend.
Just reading. You know, we're getting close to this healthcare bill, and
yeah, that's not really that much different. But the Republicans are it's still privatization of, like, you get to pick your healthcare.
I know, and also you have to have health insurance for people who can't fucking afford it. That's a problem. It doesn't make any provisions for LGBT people. I mean, we're just completely left out of it. I mean, there's so much disappointment. The big disappointment is that the fucking, sorry my language, the tea baggers, or whatever they're called, the tea party bag, whatever, the douchebaggers,
the douche.
were all out in force, you know, because they're so uneducated. And I'm just going to say, I'm just going to make a huge generalization. They're a bunch of toothless morons.
Some of them are from Michigan. Not all of them are from Tennessee.
Right. Listen, some of them are from Rhode Island. Some of them are from New York City. They're all over. Exactly. I mean, they're fucking idiots. Anyway, so they were out in droves yesterday because they think it's communist to have health care reform. They're so afraid because they believe what Glenn Beck tells them because they're fucking lemmings. Anyway, they called a African-American representative a nigger. I'm going to use that word because that's what they said. Mm-hmm. As he walked across the street from one building to the other. Mm-hmm. They called Barney Frank a faggot. Mm-hmm. And then all erupted in laughter. Mm-hmm. This is their behavior.
Was this at their meeting?
No, this is as they were literally going into sessions.
Ah. Yeah, because today, we're recording this on Sunday. Today is the day that they were supposed to...
Yeah, no, this was yesterday.
Yeah, right. But I'm just saying they're also supposed to be in sessions today, yeah. I think. And the interesting thing is that, you know, I guess the teabaggers are saying, you know, how horrible it is that it's on the Sabbath, that it's on Sunday, that's all this. And we're like, yeah, and so's your McDonald's, and so's your, you know,
you know what? So's the $3 billion you're spending on porn.
Yeah, so's everything.
I'm so sick of that bullshit.
Everything's working today.
Also, separation of church and state, suck it.
So's your football game that you're going to go see. So's your everything.
Also, like... You know what really, really is shocking to me is that the Republican Party allows themselves, because the tea baggers get press, right? And it seems like this grassroots thing. But it's a grassroots, it's like the fucking Klan. It's like a grassroots group of idiots, right?
Yep.
So because they're becoming popular, they get press. The Republicans aren't distancing themselves from it. So the Republicans are now aligned.
Their silence is culpable.
Yes. Absolutely. Their silence is tacit approval. So now they are aligned and they are allied with a group of people who use the N-word and the F-word at our elected officials.
Yep.
And they're okay with it because they haven't said anything.
Yep.
They have not said a thing.
Yep. Silence is the worst kind of prejudice.
You better believe it.
You know, it's the worst
kind. Of course it's not, because if they're silent, then they're not technically approving. But if they don't say anything against it, then the teabaggers won't turn on them.
Yeah, guilt by omission, man. Guilt
it's
by omission.
Unbelievable.
Well, and here's the thing. Why can't the Democrats take a freaking clue and get loud? Can't we just get loud?
No.
Can't we just stop playing so PC on the playground? I'm so tired of
I don't know when somebody clipped the balls of the Democrats. You know who does? I'll tell you whose balls were not clipped. It was those two fabulous guys who chained themselves to a fence at the White House.
Dan Choi.
And then, what was his name? Corporal.
I just did the news story on it.
I can't remember the other guy's name. He was a captain or a corporal. I know it's blanking in my head. Anyway.
And they're
playing hardball with these boys.
Arrested.
Yeah, but they're not just arrested, but they're playing hardball.
Yeah.
No bail.
Yep.
I mean, they're playing hardball with these boys. And it's like, really? And then the fucking bitches at HRC are sort of distancing themselves from it because he took over our protest. Really? You're going to play that I'm going to take my football and go home game?
Yeah.
This guy's actually making real statements, real progress. He's an actual hero, an actual veteran, and you're pissed because he disturbed your party?
Yep. I don't know. I mean,
bunch
it is
of rich
really,
white guys.
It's really going to take us getting
chained to a goddamn fence.
Angry. Yeah. I mean, why don't International Mr. Leather, like, why don't they hold it? I mean, sorry for the Chicago economy, but what if they held it in D.C.
Yeah.
And they all go in their leather and chain themselves to the fence? That's what I kept thinking. Like, couldn't we find some sort of fun bondage use for this analogy of, like, handcuffs?
I know, but then the Glenn Becks and the Bill O'Reilly.
Who cares?
I know, but they...
Who cares?
I'll tell you who cares. It's because they then use those scare tactics to scare America. That we're going to come into their classrooms and fuck their kids.
I think it's scarier that Neil Patrick Harris is going to play a Smurf. I don't know. This scares me more.
Patrick Harris can play anything.
It scares
he
the shit
wants.
Out of me. I think this might be a career. This might be like when Leah Thompson did Howard the Duck. I don't know. I'm a little nervous for him.
I think just
him.
The opposite. It's going to be like when Ellen Finding Nemo. It's going to have that effect.
Yeah, but it's not an animation.
He's going to be... Kids are going to love him so much that he's now going to be an out gay man beloved by every child in America.
Oh, I don't know.
That's what's going to happen.
Okay, I hope you're right.
In the way that Ellen is an out gay woman that every kid knows because mom goes, hey, see the lady on the talk show this afternoon? That's Dory.
Yeah.
So they grow up, then they find out that Ellen's a lesbian and she's married to her gorgeous wife, and it's not so scary. Yeah. That's what's going to happen with Smurfs.
I hope so. You've just helped me see it in a whole new light. Absolutely. Because I just Howard the Duck.
Also, have you seen the lineup of the other people going to be in that movie? It's like this amazing lineup of the animated voices.
Oh, okay.
It might work.
It might work. It might work. I hope it does. I hope it does for him. I trust him. He's pretty good with his career choices.
Yeah, he's been. Yeah, he's
been pretty select and savvy.
He's made it work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just really feel like, you know, there's been this call now for Enda to get, you know, done. I mean, we've got Lieberman talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We've got the middle of the road people louder than the people that are on our side of the street. It's like, what is going on?
It's fear mongering. It's the loud ones. It's the Glenn Becks. It's the Bill O'Reillys. It's the Sean Hannity. They tell lies and they get people afraid, and then people believe it because, let's face it, people. You know, it's once again, it's religion is the opiate of the masses. You know, it's too scary to think for yourself. So if someone tells you what to think,
mm-hmm.
it's so much easier than you get to believe it and move on, as opposed to really thinking for yourself and finding out the truth. And, you know, I'm a proud American, blah, 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 blah. But we are a bunch of dummies.
Mm-hmm.
We're a bunch of dummies. We have a terrible public school.
We're just lazy.
Terrible public school systems.
We're entitled and lazy. And that's the biggest part of it.
Well, people feel entitled to their ignorance. That's the problem.
Well, that's what I mean. They feel entitled not to have to learn, not to have to grow, not to have to change, not to have to work.
When has a culture morph into a culture that just sort of aspires towards mediocrity? I sound so bitter today, right? On a Sunday lesbian coffee time.
Drink your soy coffee. Your soy milk coffee.
Soy chicory coffee.
Don't talk lesbian.
Is there any coffee in this at all?
I don't think so. Well, you know, I mean, I just think we're heading into spring. We're heading into opportunities for, you know, I just hope people will kind of shake off this slough of winter and really start getting engaged. And, you know, God love the Mississippi schoolgirl who is, you know, appearing on Ellen and out and about and trying to, you know.
And God bless her dad.
Oh, my God. How cute was he on Ellen this week? And a good for Ellen, because Ellen has been one of these non-political types. And now she's gotten very political around mm-hmm. being a vegan,
yep.
which is very interesting. And
no sugar.
And very political.
We've talked about this because my thing is like Ellen already was political. So I give Ellen a pass only because Ellen's act of coming out when she did was political. And so the mere act that she has a television show makes her political. But I do love that she picks and chooses
yes.
what to get involved.
It's always about youth.
Yes, because if she screamed every day, people wouldn't pay attention. And then
she spoke out about Lawrence King.
She spoke about Lawrence King.
And she spoke out about this girl and gave her a platform to come yes. and speak at 18. And I think it's about the young people.
Yes. And also it's smart with a woman who has a talk show on 5 days a week that if all she's doing is scream about politics, she's going to even turn off us because yeah. really we're watching Ellen to be entertained. We're yep. not watching Ellen to be politicized.
Yep.
So her picking and choosing those things smartly and from her heart
yep.
make them more powerful.
Yep.
As opposed to Jodie Foster who still hasn't opened up her goddamn mouth.
Yep. It's true. It's true. Anderson Cooper. Jodie Foster. Well, some of these people would come
out. Anderson Cooper, I disagree because Anderson Cooper, while he doesn't come out, which I get because he's a journalist,
yeah.
He doesn't talk about his personal life. It's never shy away from doing stories about our issues.
No, that's true.
He just doesn't talk about his own
connection to it.
And I had no issues with that. He's a journalist. It's like Barbara Walters not wanting to talk about her relationships.
Right.
You know, back in the day, you know, yep. more so now in The View and it's sort of a gossipy show. But it's like journalists should be... We shouldn't know anything about them so that it's a blank slate. But it's not like Anderson Cooper is in the closet in life and then also not dealing with our issues.
Right.
He always has stories yep. about our issues. So
yep.
I get more issues with somebody like Jodie Foster who doesn't even have a career but a boatload of money and nothing to lose
yep.
and could be making a difference and she's not.
Do you really think she could be making a difference?
Yeah.
Because what's she doing? I mean, what's she really doing?
She could be spending her time talking, just being out there.
Yeah,
it's not like she's making movies.
She could be on the front lines, but...
She's not making
movies. I don't
know
that she's one of the biggest people that we need to come out. I think elected officials would be big. I think sports stars would be big. I think there are some other people that would actually change the tide
Don't get me started on fucking outing, because I'm all for outing. Out everybody. I don't care. I'll point fingers. I know that, you don't understand. I'm sorry. I'm all about outing. Sorry. You're out. I mean, certain situations, like civilians, you know, like school teachers and stuff like that, who may potentially lose their job, but like public figures, out. Yep. I don't care. Out. Yep. Really? Boo hoo, you can't make $6 million on your next movie, Tom Cruise. Boo hoo.
Yeah.
I don't care. Out.
Yep. Yeah. Out. I don't know. I have a problem with outing, but
I know I'm in the minority.
It's okay. It's okay. I mean, I guess it's too, because though I don't really consider myself a journalist, I because I've been talking to people for 10 years, you know, I think, you know, I think what Barbara Walters did to Ricky Martin was wrong, and I think that there are.
I disagree. It was a question everybody wanted to ask. That interview would have been a completely besides the point if she hadn't asked. He gets to do with whatever the question he wants, but he agreed to that interview at a time in his career where every single person was asking that question. Mm. And if she didn't ask that question, it would be like the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like in Fried Green Tomatoes when they never deal with the fact that those characters are lesbians. We all know what's happening, yep, and nobody ever says it.
Yep. Well, so that's annoying. Hollywood. That's Hollywood putting something that was evident.
You know what?
Shoving it
around. I'll tell you
carpet.
What, if Ricky Martin had the balls to come out back then, he might still have a career. I think
maybe
the opposite,
but it was a
true.
Weird time. It was at a weird time, you know. Don't forget that was before Ellen came out, and I really think that before Ellen came out, it was a different climate. I mean, she lost her job. Now, she did do it, and she got to do it on her own time, so to speak. I mean, I think most of us knew she was gay. Most of us knew Rosie was gay. I mean, you know, most of us knew Melissa and KD, but once again, we're naming a crap load of women. I mean, it was really T.R. Knight, I think, who was the first.
T.R. Neil Patrick Harris.
And Neil Patrick Harris came out right after him. And I think, you know, that has started to change the tide. And I don't know. You know, they're all connected. They're come all out. Connected.
Come out. Come out.
Exactly. Wherever you are.
Thank you. I wasn't going to try for that note on the Sunday. No.
All right. Well, I'm off to Mexico.
I'm so excited for you.
Mexico.
And so when
never
do you
been.
Leave? When do you leave?
Have you been to Mexico?
Yeah, I have. I spent 2 months in Mexico.
That's right.
The other coast, though. You're going to the different coast.
Yeah.
You're going to the, I think they call it the Mexican Riviera. I think that's what
ooh,
they refer to.
I don't know.
So when you leave, just like bad teenagers, we're going to have wild, crazy parties.
I hope you do.
Like risky business parties.
That's good. Dun, 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 dun. But I've already seen you sliding around in your underwear.
I know, it's true.
And your socks.
Nothing
crazy.
New. Everybody in Chicago is going to be sliding around
and
my house.
And I got thin walls up there every now and again. If I'm sitting on the toilet, I can hear the prostitutes you have in your room.
I don't pay yet.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
well,
don't
Tom
get me
Cruise
wrong.
Tom Cruise did.
Yeah, he did. I'm not paying yet.
You and I rarely are on the L together, so I don't know about all that L sex. But other than that, no, you have yourself a merry little gay time.
And you have an amazing Mexican adventure.
I'm going to. I'm a little worried about having to wash all the food, like in Clorox and bleach and stuff like that. I don't know what the hell we have to do.
They'll tell you. I'm telling you. They're so tourist-friendly. My experience of Mexico, I don't know what other people's, was that people were so tourist-friendly. You know, it was always this way thing. You're in somebody's country and you're a tourist and you feel a little bit embarrassed and you don't want to admit that you're a tourist because you don't want to stick out. My thing is the opposite. Admit you're a tourist, ask for help, and people are so willing to help. Yeah. You know who they hate? Because, you know, my experience of traveling lately is that I've had to be places for a while.
Right.
It's not just one day and I leave.
Right.
So I've gotten sort of a little bit of a, you know, go to the same cafe every day for 2 months. And so you find out that people who work with tourists would rather you say, I'm a tourist, please help me.
Yep.
Right. As opposed to a tourist who's pretending that they don't need any help and they got it, I got it, not. And so then you end up being rude.
Yep.
As opposed to saying, you know, hi, I've never been here before. Can you help me and show me the way to do this? People are so willing and lovely and friendly in the tourist industry. And I found that's particularly true, even more so than Europe, and doubly so more than Bermuda, that the Mexican people that I met who worked with tourists were so open and so lovely.
Yeah, well, we're kind of just going to be isolated a bit on a beach, and that will be a bit nice. Take my Kindle, piled full of books, and...
What if I tied you up,
in a bathing
snatched
suit.
You bald, dressed in your clothes, and then got on the plane with Kelly? You think people would know the difference?
Nobody would know the difference.
And then I'll just leave you here.
Yeah, just leave me here. You leave me here with Megan.
You and Megan. Yeah, all right, maybe you should go.
And
maybe
I will have risky business parties here. And she will be my redheaded prostitute, because... You know, she didn't win that $1,000, so
I know.
We'll help her earn it some other way.
Oh, my goodness.
How funny is that?
And then Kelly and I will get married in Mexico City.
No, it would be legal.
It would be legal,
how
right?
How funny would you and Kelly be as a married couple?
Genius. Actually, we could do like a reverse gender version of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. She's George and I'm Martha.
That would be very funny. It's an idea. We have them here with the Soy Lesbian coffees on the couch in our pajamas.
I love it.
All experience them. Next QueerCast, all about the Chicago Forest women's all-tackle football team.
Hot.
Is about to start playing. It is hot.
It's hot.
Very hot, like Mexico. It should be hot.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City QueerCast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our QueerCast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast, queer and now.